See everybody. I hope you brought your Bible. I'd love for you to read with us today. I want to read in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Very familiar reading for some. And I want you to pray for us just for a little while. I need your prayers. Bible said in verses 24, 11th chapter, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, also he took the cup. And when he supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. I don't know if you grabbed that. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Watch these verses. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, notice what it says next. You do show the Lord's death till he come. Now hold on to that. He said, you do show. That's what you're seeing. That's what you're portraying. You do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body, which that was the bread, and of the blood of the Lord, which that's the juice. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, notice that word again, second time we get to hear it, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, for this reason, the reason we just spoke about, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you. For the reason why, when you took that, when you did that, and you did that unworthily, there's weakness, not in the church, there's weakness in you. Many weak and sickly. You know what that term means? When we had animals up back living on kind of the farm, if you had the sickly ones, you had to take special care with them, or guess what? Sickly would turn into something else called death. You had to kind of help them out. Many sickly among you and many sleep, which is sleep, according to a Christian, is death. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the words. I pray you help us move upon us to, as you see fit. But God, let your way be done, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Many years ago, and I'm talking many years ago now, after I first got saved, went to a church that wasn't very strong. Did not have a very strong in leadership, direction, guidance, teaching, whatever. If they did, I didn't grab it. As a young Christian, there's a lot of things to learn. I'm not asking every Christian that's born again to be able to say, well, we're going to be cookie cutters and everyone be the same. I believe when a person gets born again, he needs to learn some basic principles. Number one, he needs to learn how to pray. Number two, he needs to learn how to read his Bible. Number three, he needs to go to church, okay? You figure out the order. Because there's important things in those three little things that you do right there as a young Christian. Some folks, whenever they get saved, been saved for a long period of time, they quit those three. You figure out which ones they quit. But when people want to do what God wants them to do, they will grow and mature. The Bible says that newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you grow thereby. As a convert, as a new person getting saved, they need to be introduced to teaching. They need to be introduced to what needs to be their role and their role in growing as a Christian. If they're not growing as a Christian, they're going to find themselves all of a sudden the roaring lion seeking who may devour is going to come on the scene. That's the devil. And what the devil can do, he can rob you of your victory. He can take that all away. He can't take away your salvation, but he can take away the victory that you could have. Now, that's just important 50 years ago, 50 plus years ago for me, that is, it is today right now that we're living in right now. It doesn't change over a period of time. We have had people in our lives, that have come along before us, that have done the very same thing that we do today. Now, I'm talking about years and years ago. See, I only represent a period of time from, I got saved in late 69, okay, in the year 1969, a long time ago. But whenever the time that I really started really going to church and doing things, let's just call it the 70s, from then on, there has been a period of time that I am responsible for. Now, that responsibility is not because I'm a preacher. That responsibility is because I am a Christian. The responsibility of what we do in the house of God is just like what we just read right here. That responsibility was taught to me, and I began to read in this Bible. I began to understand in this Bible that principle, and that principle has not changed during my entire lifetime. The way I see it today is the same way I'll see it to the day I die. Now, what's important about that? Because it was taught to me. Was it taught identical? Did I have to read and understand everything identical? No, I believe that's conviction. Whenever you study the word, whenever you understand that word, you'll have conviction and you'll only do it one way and one way only. In fact, the same way I baptize folks today is the same way I was baptized. It just didn't start with me. It started a long time before me. Lord's Supper is the same way. It didn't start with me. It happened a long time before me. But in my stead, in my hour, in the hour that I live, in the hour that we're here at this church, it's a responsibility of every one of us to do the same thing, the identical way that we have convictions in our heart. That's the Lord's Supper. The Bible talks about some ingredients. And I'm not... really going to talk about the Lord's Supper, all right? We're going another direction, but I want you to hear this. We are supposed to observe as Baptists. I hate to even say it that way. We're supposed to observe two individual things, and that's baptism and that's the Lord's Supper, okay? I don't deviate from that. I don't go away from that. I have studied and studied and studied, and I have been around preachers that they may be a little bit different than I am. They may holler a little bit louder. They may kick a little bit higher. They may do a lot of things a little bit different, but I want to tell you the message is the same. I'm not going to stand and listen to a preacher that doesn't preach the truth and doesn't preach from this Bible and doesn't be able to say the same thing. If the Lord is not in the business of saving, if the Lord doesn't save you the same way I got saved, I ain't got no time for anybody like that. Now, what's happened? We have changed in our world. We've changed. The Bible uses two main ingredients here. And the two main ingredients was the bread that represents the body and that blood which represents the juice. But there's one ingredient right here that we never talk about. And that's the cup. If you read that entire section, there is a cup mentioned. In fact, if you ever come to our communion service that we have it on Sunday night, and we're going to have it one day this month and a couple of weeks from now. And when we do that, we use these little old bitty cups, little old bitty rascals. I mean, they are little, and what we put in there is, I don't know how many ounces. It ain't 10, it ain't 20. It'll do good if it hits a good ounce, all right. And I never have quite understood that. And I hope you're not don't have beans on cooking. But I never have quite understood how come there's no amount set. In fact, I believe if you go back to the Bible days, they might have used a regular size cup. They might have used a regular size, not one of them big gulps that got to the 7-Eleven. I'm not talking about that kind. Because the Bible says, drink ye all of it. It better not be one of them big gulpers, all right? Because we might be here a long time before we drink all of that. But we got them little old bitty rascals. And them little bitty rascals, when it comes to the part of that ceremony that we are doing, and whenever we're observing the Lord's Supper, we say this every single time, drink ye all of it. Why? Because when the Lord says drink all of it, you better drink it. You don't have to understand why. You just do what He says. Now there is a reason that God kept reiterating a cup. He couldn't just say the blood because that's what it represented, the blood. And if you read, and I don't have the time to read it, but you read that and you read the other locations, there is an important factor. Whenever you observe the Lord's Supper and you observe when it says drink and eating that bread and drink that cup, because he said if you do it unworthily, if you do it unworthily, you're guilty. You're guilty of the body and of the blood. I don't know about you, but friend, as a young Christian, I really needed to understand what that really meant, because I could kind of figure out when a preacher would say, if you drink and you eat unworthy, you're, there's some trouble. That trouble, there's going to be many weak and many sickly among you and many sleep. I didn't understand that part right there, but it didn't take me long to ask questions and figure out. It didn't take me very long to figure out. If I don't observe what God wants done properly and do it decently in order and the right frame of mind and the right spiritual frame of mind, guess what? There is consequences for what you do. And all of a sudden, I began to think about it. It didn't matter if I was a young Christian or an old Christian. Observing baptism and doing it properly and observing the Lord's Supper and doing it properly was a requirement. There's not any deviation from that. It used a vessel, and that vessel was that cup. Didn't make a lot of sense. You really study it and it'll make a lot of sense. For the sake of the rest of the time, I want us to begin to look at a passage. I'm going to four or five different spots, and you don't even have to turn if you don't want to. But I want to read something, and I want you to listen to it. Sometimes whenever we have the time, we'll talk about it a little bit further. But in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 23, and I want you to read with me or just listen to me as I go through two verses. Jesus is saying this. Jesus says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites." He takes in a category of people. He takes in religious folks, and then he gets to the hypocrites, those that say it and not do it. So he gets all the religious crowd at the same time. He gets every category. In fact, there are religious people today that have taken things like baptism and the Lord's Supper and have just made a mockery of how it's observed. And whenever you make a mockery, if you make a mockery of the things that I believe are very, very solemn and very, very important, and you make a mockery of that, you're making a mockery of God. Don't ever think that you can make fun at God and get by with it. The Bible says, "Woe unto you, Pharisees, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. For you make clean the outside of the cup." You make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. "Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." In plain old country boy English, God says you need to take care of the inside before you ever take care of the outside. Christianity is not measured from the outside. You can fool folks all the time being in church, doing the things of church. In fact, years ago when you used to go to church, there was a difference. You knew when folks left church and go down to, and find a place to restaurant to eat, or went home or saw them on the street, you knew they'd been to church. How did you know somebody'd been to church and hadn't seen them before? How'd you know if you'd seen them in a car they'd been to church? Because they dress like they'd been to church. They dress like they've been to church. They dress like they were doing something for the king and not for themselves. They went to the meeting of the house of God, and they went there to worship God. And when they worship God, whenever they left that afternoon, guess what? The cup on the inside is what made the difference on the outside. the cup on the inside. He says the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites. Those are the ones that when Jesus looked at, he knew what they were made up on the inside. He knew how they acted. He knew what they were doing. And friend, it wasn't very hard for him. And it's not very hard for the Lord to tell us our wrongs today. He knows the cup we bear. There are people that have never observed baptism and the Lord's Supper and have been saved. You know why? They're afraid. Afraid. As a Christian, if you want to continue not doing what God wants you to do, and I really believe in baptism, I really do. I believe once you get saved, I believe you ought to get baptized. Once you get born again, you ought to follow the Lord in baptism. And I believe that from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. And I'm not going to change. And I believe you need to observe the Lord's Supper. Why? Both of those actions, those are internal actions. When somebody gets baptized, I go in there with them. Yep. But I don't go in there with them unless they've had a testimony of getting saved prior to getting in that water. Whenever they get in that water, there's some things that I say every single time that I learned from somebody else. But those things that I say is not because I want them to know, oh, it's okay to get baptized. I want them to know they're following somebody else and they sure ain't following me. See how that makes a difference? When you look at the cup, you need to look on the inside. You ought to not get baptized if you ain't saved. And you should not take the Lord's Supper if you ain't saved. You know if you've been born again. You know the condition of your cup on the inside. When Jesus looked at the scribes and the Pharisees and the hypocrites, I don't think he was the only one that could figure that out. I believe those disciples could have looked on and said, you know what? There is a difference. The inside of the cup. And why is that important? Why is the Lord's Supper so important? Why in the world do we make an issue of this? Listen to what it says. You just stay right where you're at, and you know this verse as well as I do, so it ain't going to take you very much to understand. The Bible says, the Lord my shepherd, I shall not want. You know where I'm at. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And you know what? Every one of those things that I said, it's all about me. He leads me. He does this to me. All those things that God does, he does for me. Watch this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Boy, I like that part. I know God's with me. And I know, watch this. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff that comfort me. I love all that. Man, that's just great. Now, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, if I'm sitting at God's table and my enemies are right there and God's doing all those other things for me, watch this. In the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest my head with oil. Do you think God's going to anoint every lost person with oil? Do you think that God is going to anoint every lost person with oil? You see, if everybody in this world was going to get saved regardless, Jesus would not have died. You're not going to go to heaven because you was born. You born one time, you're going straight to hell when you die. But if you don't get born again, now you know why the Bible, now you know why we say in church you must be born again. You must be born again. Because if you expect to go just like you are, just in the condition of the outside of the cup, you're going to die and go straight to hell. So he must be talking about something else. Now anointest my head with oil. must have separated some folks. But watch this. My cup runneth over. Now, we have read that. We have looked at that. We have studied that. We have used that. I know that this particular passage is talking about the blessings of God. And the blessings of God come my direction. Now, listen. We can use every rich man that we know in the Bible and say, look here, you can be saved and you can be rich. It's not about dollars and cents that the Lord is talking about. The Lord is talking about whenever you, and I'm going to use a lot of things right here, everything that I have learned from God, everything that He has taught me in my Christian life, He couldn't teach it to me in one Sunday. He couldn't let me experience it on one Sunday. Many of you have prayed a prayer, and when God's answered your prayer, you're done. You're done. Because you think, as long as God answered the most important prayer, why should I pray again? I'm doing pretty good by myself. I got news for you. That cup may look like it's clean on the inside, but God knows whether it's clean on the inside. You can fool everybody else on that outside stuff. But when God begins to look at the cup, He begins to show you things, and God will put things in the cup. And the things that God puts in that cup, friend of mine, there was one of the greatest blessings that I ever received and didn't have a hard time understanding at all, that whenever I got saved, I was saved from day one to day eternity. It's called eternal security. I'm glad that I know it's in that Bible. I'm glad I've studied it. I'm glad I've read it. But guess what? When folks begin to say, well, you're saved forever, whenever I was a youngster, I didn't understand it very well. I didn't kind of put two and two together. But when you finally see it in that book and you finally know when God saved you, He saved you forever, guess what? He put something in that cup. And when He put something in that cup, man, He began to tell you, every time you do things like whenever you get baptized, put something in that cup. Whoa, every time you take the Lord's Supper, put something in that cup. Every time you get on your knee and you ask God, do this, do that, and the other, and you get an answered prayer, guess what? Every time you get a prayer answered, you thank God. God put something in that cup. For long, that cup runneth over. For long. For long, if you realize what's in the cup, you are blessed. But some people's cup's bigger than others. I hope your cup's not the size of our communion glasses. Because if it is, it don't take very much to satisfy what God has given you. Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, it didn't say one-time prayer. Pray one time. God answer that prayer. It's fine if He don't answer that prayer. Well, just go on to the next thing. That ain't the way it works. Friend of mine, if we will come to God, if we will come to God with an earnest desire, I mean a sincere desire of the heart, in other words, not the one on the outside, but the one on the inside, if we're asking God, friend of mine, God can fill our cup. And He will, but He will not fill a dirty cup. You ever drink from a dirty cup? you ain't lived around the farm too much. You ain't done some of the construction things or something in this world. There's been a lot of things that you've kind of been sheltered from. And if you're sheltered from and you the least bit of smudge on that dirt, and you got no other cup, and you are thirsty, and you can't stick your head under the faucet, and you got to drink from that cup, you can decide if you're going to go thirsty or you're going to drink from that dirty cup. Man, I'd rather have a clean cup any day, but if I'm a thirsty, I'm a drinking from that cup. Why? If God had a choice between using you and somebody that had a clean cup, which one would He use? If God had a choice between using you or somebody with a clean cup, which one would he use? See, there, just because you saved and you got your name on the church roll and you've been baptized and, oh, you take the Lord's Supper, don't mean you're free and clear of all trouble. Friend of mine, many sleep and many sick among you. Hey, friend, whenever this happened, it's because the outside is, that's what you're expecting. You better be expecting what God looks at. God looks at a reason. There's things in the cup. And if God puts your blessings in the cup, you'll know what it's all about. But if you try to start dealing with a dirty cup, God is going to know it. Don't have much time, but if I can get to it, Psalms chapter 51. Don't just listen to it. Psalms 51 and 10. Here's what the psalmist David wrote. Create in me a clean heart. Create. Create in me a clean heart. Oh God. You see how I left that out? Create in me a clean heart, oh God. You must desire to have a clean heart. If you dabble around and out there in that world, and I want to tell you, we're not in church very long, all right? We're not in church very many hours. Some of you, if we're out there in that world and we're doing all that, I'm not living worldly preach. I'm just talking about the influence of the world. The influence of the world is where we've got to in our local churches today. We kid and cut up about this, that, and the other that's going on in some of the bigger churches. But I got news for you. If you're not careful, you begin to say, oh, there ain't much bad wrong with that. Oh, that ain't so bad. I got news for you. If you don't ask God to create in you a clean heart, you'll be thinking the same way the world thinks for long. It wears on you. But Psalmist David didn't leave it there and created me a clean heart, oh God. He said, and renew a right spirit within me. Renew a right spirit within me. Was there ever a wrong spirit when God saved your soul? So what does it mean? That means if you don't listen to God, the devil likes to throw things out there that you'll listen to. Oh, it ain't so bad, preacher. Friend of mine, yes it is. Ain't no such thing as a woman preacher. Ain't not in my book, not in my eyes, not in my views. Ain't nothing wrong with a woman. That's just one of them things that I believe God called a man to preach. All right? There's nothing wrong, preacher, with the Bible that I read. Oh, yes it is. I believe there's only one. And if I could go back to the original one and read that, and I'd tell it to you, but I can't. I just got to use this one right here. It's been a long time before me, and I really believe in this book. See, this is one of them things that if God creates in you, and if God puts in you a clean heart, and God says, renews that spirit, you're not going to give in to the things that the world has to say. You're going to be a little different. You're going to talk different and you're going to do things different because where we started from, whenever we get in there and we're taking the Lord's Supper and whenever he says, drink ye all of it, that means you're consuming everything that's in that cup, no matter how small or large. You see, I've been saved not because I took my own views of the Bible. I've been saved because I read what Jesus did for me. And you know how strong it makes my cup, and my cup can get full and run over, and because I start counting all the blessings that God gives. Why should I change? Why? These kids around here need to be taught the Word of God. It's up to them whether they choose to follow it or not. It's up to them whether they take that Bible and live with it the rest of their life. My time, my era, is going to come soon to an end. Somebody else is going to pick up that era and go a little bit further down the journey until the Lord comes back. You want to be able to say to every individual, I made a difference. I made a difference. My cup that God lets me drink from, have I consumed everything that God said, drink ye all of it. Drink ye all of it. Whenever I baptize folks, it's the way it was done to me. One thing that's very important for me is to sock you all the way under. We're going to go to the bottom of the baptistry if we have to. But one thing you're not going to do, you're not going to stick up them hands, you're not going to do what, I'm going to get that crown of the head under there. The soul and feet's going to be on there for sure. Why is that? Because I want you to know that whenever you get baptized, you die out to that old man, that old world. We're not washing you, make you clean. You clean already, all right? There ain't no soap up over there, okay? Whenever you get socked under, you died out. In other words, I want you to know. Because, see, your eyes is closed. You just like Israel, you're depending on me to do it right, all right? And then when you go under, when you hit under, you're depending on me to do what God wants us. Why is it so important? I want you to know that there's not a part of you left out there. No, sir, you died out. You're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in newness of life. You're trusting on individuals to tell you the right way. Many times you never open your Bible. Sometimes you'll open it and you'll read, but from then on you're kind of sitting there. You're depending on me to tell you the truth. I was listening to a preacher, and I can't remember when, but I was listening to him, and the words that he said just somehow or another just, I don't know how to explain. I'm not a Bible scholar, but sometimes I can tell if that word just don't, it just, that didn't sound right. Well, I got a Bible on my phone. I flip it out and open it up and thought, well, that is right. But if I didn't do it that way, I would have swore up and down that preacher done added a word in. Now, I have seen many times where those preachers have done them different version, and it don't take me long real quick, you know. But I know. And then I'd open up, see, I knew I was right. Why is that? My cup has got used to the blessings of God. I love them blessings. Now, them outside of that cup, a lot of time it ain't just as pretty. But what God has put in there has made a difference in my life. It ain't this right here. That outside, that cup. Mm-mm. It's that inside. And when God saved my soul, I was nothing. But He cleansed me and made me whole. He put something in that cup that every now and then it's just worth taking a look at. Every now and then when God says, drink ye all of it, oh, ain't you glad? Ain't you glad you're saved today? Ain't you glad? We got a better place to go. We may have a lot of troubles and trials down here. Boy, the inside of that cup looks a whole lot better than that outside. I'm thankful to the good Lord that if you're healed or after I'm gone, hang in there. Let God bless you. Let that cup run over every now and then because of the blessings that you see in the cup. Because that's where it's at. Because the psalmist David didn't depend on God. The psalmist David wrote, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I ain't done yet. Because I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It was in the cup. He knew it was in the cup. He was just telling what he'd learned from God. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank God that He's taught us enough. That even though our eyes may go away that we can't read, and our hearing go away that we can't hear, God puts it all in that heart. And He'll never take it away.
I'm glad my cup is able to run over with the blessings of God. Let's have a song of invitation, Brother Greg. If you know where you need to be with God, you ought to get your heart right. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved today. You've not been born again. Maybe you understand that now. One birth ain't gonna cut it. You need to get born again. But maybe your outside of your cup's awful dirty. Friend of mine, listen to what the Lord. You made that outside look pretty good. He's really concerned about the inside. If that inside ain't where it needs to be, you know it. When's the last time you really prayed and said, God, I'm worried about my inside? God will say, are you doubting your salvation? No, God. I'm really worried about my inside. You know what God say? I knew it all along, but just wanted you to know it. Because if you see yourself thinking more about the things out there than about your relationship to God, your relationship has done got cold. When's the last time you really prayed for somebody instead of praying for what you want? When's the last time you really talked to God about so-and-so's lost? You see, sometimes that dirtiness on the outside has a way of creeping in and drinking from that dirty cup. But when Jesus says, drink what I give you and drink all of it, there's a reason. God loves you. Let's stand on our feet.